Let me introduce you to a new book by Simon Bowne, Verified Near-Death Experiences. Simon Bowne, acclaimed podcaster and hypnotherapist, announces the release of his groundbreaking book, Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife. Through detailed accounts of events observed during clinical death and startling moments of validation, Simon Bowne offers compelling insights into the mysteries of the afterlife. Verified Near-Death Experiences is a thought-provoking book that will leave readers questioning what lies beyond. Available soon.
This is episode 73 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Pierre Giorgio Mergia's book, Aliens in the Land of the Nuraghes, a century of UFO sightings and encounters with extraterrestrial beings in Sardinia. And I've put a link to the book in the show notes. I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. So I've chosen first of all to read an extract titled January 2015, The Case of the Family from a Village in Southern Sardinia. And this is what Pierre has written. A small village in southern Sardinia, which I won't mention to protect the witness's privacy, became the case for an incredible adventure involving a family with an experience at the edge of the paranormal. On a cold evening in January 2015, the family members, mother, 16-year-old son, and 11-year-old daughter, were returning home from their farm located in a very fertile area of the village, 2.5 miles from the centre of town. The father had decided to stay a bit longer at the farm to finish some work. The evening was characterised by a clear, starry sky, and the clock showed 6 p.m. As soon as the family drove the first 980 feet in their car, a large flying object, completely illuminated and silent, suddenly appeared in the sky. The 11-year-old daughter reported that the object seemed to change shape on its underside and that portholes could be glimpsed, through which humanoid figures could be seen observing from above. The mysterious aircraft positioned itself about 65 feet above the car, instantly shutting off its engine and causing all family members' cell phones to turn off. The atmosphere inside the car immediately became tense and filled with fear. The 16-year-old son, driven by an irrepressible curiosity, got out of the car to better observe the object. It was at that moment that a beam of white light struck him, completely immobilizing him. The mother, worried, shouted at him to get back in the car, but to no avail. Meanwhile, the daughter remained inside the immobilized car, staring at the roof as she could see through it. After about 2 or 3 minutes, the light beam suddenly turned off and the object disappeared in the blink of an eye behind the village mountains. The father, who had witnessed the entire scene from his farm, could only see the motionless car on the road, wrapped in darkness. Worried about his family, he tried to call them, but their phones were off. Strangely, he couldn't see either the flying object or the light that had struck his son. Years passed, and for 3 full years, the boy woke up every night exactly at 3 a.m. as if called by an invisible force that had to activate some kind of connection inside him. One day, after a party with friends that lasted until 5 a.m, the young man missed his usual 3 a.m. appointment and woke up with a swollen and inflamed neck, accompanied by a fever for a week. It was then that the boy, plagued by countless questions, decided to undergo a regression hypnosis session at the office of Dr. Salvatici, a psychologist and long-time UFO researcher. During the deep trance, the boy revealed that he had been taken aboard the flying object by beings with reptilian features to be laid on a metal table and subjected to a detailed examination before being released back to the ground. All this suggests that the technology possessed by these enigmatic creatures allowed them to take the boy and put him back in his place in a fraction of a second without his family members noticing his absence. A sort of temporal manipulation that would have allowed them to dilate time inside their craft so that 2 hours on board would have lasted a fraction of a second on the ground. In the days following the regression hypnosis, the boy no longer woke up at 3 a.m. and the neck inflammation healed completely. The identity of the people involved in this case remains deliberately anonymous to protect their privacy. The protagonists of the experience have decided not to expose themselves publicly to avoid damaging their image and reputation. Unfortunately, even today, there is much reticence regarding topics like these, and people tend to discredit those who live through such experiences, causing them social, existential, and work-related problems that shouldn't exist. This case, like many others, raises a series of questions and reflections about the UFO phenomenon and close encounters. The testimonials of those who claim to have lived through similar experiences are often accompanied by doubts and skepticism from public opinion and the scientific community. However, it is essential to try to maintain an open and curious approach, avoiding the temptation to ridicule or hastily dismiss these stories as simply the product of an imagination or psychological problems. In an increasingly complex and mysterious world, it's important to consider even those events that escape our rational understanding. This story, although shrouded in mystery and debate, teaches us the importance of not closing ourselves off to the possibilities that life can offer, and recognizing the existence of realities that, although extraordinary and difficult to accept, can have a significant impact on our lives and our beliefs, so that we can grow as individuals and as a society, opening our minds to new discoveries and new frontiers of knowledge. Okay, and on to the next section. This is titled The Case of Giovanna Poda, Villa Speciosa. In a small town called Villa Speciosa, located in the province of South Sardinia, a woman named Giovanna Poda has lived and continues to live today through an extraordinary experience. Since early childhood, she has been the subject of continuous encounters with creatures she identified as the Greys, known in the UFO world as aliens from distant planets. This small village, with its quiet streets populated by simple and peaceful people, seemed the last place where such unusual events could occur. Yet within the walls of her home, located in an isolated area, Giovanna began to perceive these strange beings at the age of 5. For her, who lived on a farm and had little contact with other children, these creatures initially appeared as playmates. Their presence became more frequent under the large tree near the swing, where they imparted mysterious teachings and urged her to remain silent, warning that if she spoke to her parents, they would no longer visit her. And like a shared secret, Giovanna didn't tell her family. Time passed and the oddities around Giovanna became increasingly evident. At school, her classmates and teachers were often perplexed by her behaviour and advanced knowledge in subjects like physics and astronomy. Such anomalies were fuelled by the teachings of these entities, who had given her wisdom far beyond her years. During adolescence, the encounters became more frequent and intense. The aliens had now developed deep control over her life, sometimes taking her away from her home for hours, without Giovanna having any memory of what had happened. This caused tensions in the family, with parents and siblings unable to understand her prolonged absences and increasingly distant behaviour. At age 19, Giovanna had a clear perception of who these entities were. Communications occurred through an advanced form of telepathy. She described these beings as about 24 to 32 inches tall, with large black eyes and smooth skin similar to dolphins. They wore form-fitting suits without any signs of seams. But the most shocking revelation came when they told her she had to go with them. The reason? These beings needed humans to create hybrid beings between their race and humans, and Giovanna had been chosen. They particularly favoured humans with O-negative blood type. They would come and physically take her through a cone of light that paralysed her and transported her inside the ship from her home for tissue, eggs and blood sample collection. This way, she was subjected to artificial insemination, and after about 2 months, they would return to take the fetus. A gynecologist detected pregnancy through ultrasounds, but couldn't see the fetus. According to him, these were hysterical pregnancies generated by her desire for motherhood, but the reality was quite different. The technology of these beings is so advanced that they can make themselves invisible to us, and also make invisible the fetus she carried in her womb. Giovanna tells us today that she has had more than 100 pregnancies, about 4 a year, one of which went wrong, and it was a hybridization attempt perpetrated by another alien race of reptilian type. This hybrid, because it was growing abnormally and could harm Giovanna's life itself, was killed with a laser beam by the Greys to allow the mother, albeit with extreme difficulty and great suffering, to expel it autonomously. The photos of this malformed fetus taken by her partner were found on their PC by the editorial staff. So this week I was reading from Pierre Giorgio Mergier's book, Aliens in the Land of the Nuages, a century of UFO sightings and encounters with extraterrestrial beings in Sardinia. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And a great way to support this podcast is to sign up to Patreon. You can get the extended episodes there. And if you want to try the extended episodes, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favorite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.